Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Acts. We've loosely titled this Bible Survey, Unfolding Drama of Redemption, a title that we borrowed from another author as he wrote a book by that title. And through the unfolding drama of redemption, we have had the ups and downs of God's people throughout the Old Testament. They go for a while and they're serving the Lord vigorously and the Lord's blessings are upon them. And then often they stray away and God has to take them to the woodshed and remind them that He is God. Throughout the Old Testament, we have the promises of a coming King and Savior. Matthew opens the New Testament with, here's this King. Here is the promised King, King Jesus. And Mark shows us Christ as a servant. And Luke shows us Christ as a man, the Son of Man. And John shows us Christ as God, Son of God. If we went from the Gospels right into, say, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, or the churches of Galatia, or the churches of Asia Minor, we would have to stand back and go, huh? How did we get from the Old Testament and God's people serving and worshiping in the temple, and Christ comes and lays down His life and talks about starting a church, but it's very obscure in the Gospels, though it is there. And then Paul begins to write in Corinthians to the church at Corinth and some of those others that we mentioned, the churches of Galatia. And without the book of Acts, there would be this huge gap in our understanding of how we transitioned from the personal ministry of Christ, and He, as He started His church upon this earth, to what we then find later as the churches of Galatia and Asia Minor and various places that you see them all over the place. Acts fills in that gap for us. It's very, very much a bridge from the Gospels to where we are today. And it is very transitional in nature. Back when God began to work with Moses, God enabled Moses, as He told Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him, I am said, let my people go. And Moses pretty much says, huh? Me? Well, I don't think I can. And God allowed Moses, enabled Moses to be able to do things. What's in your hand, Moses? It's a rod. Put it on the ground. It became a serpent. Pick it up. It became a rod. Moses' eyes at that point are that big, right? He's like, wow. This afternoon, I was behind Jay, and he didn't know I was behind Jay, and he was backing up. And I knew he was going to stop, and right when he stopped, I went, and he turned around and his eyes were that big. You know, he's like, whoa, where did you come from? Moses must have been the same way as he did. It's, whoa, how did this happen? God enabled Moses to do some things to prove to Pharaoh and give credibility to Moses and validity to what he said. And as God began to work with the apostles, He gave them gifts for the very same reason. And He gave them abilities for the very same reason, to prove this is Me working through them. This is validating their testimony. This gives them credibility. The book of Acts, especially now, the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts, is that in motion. And so we must understand that. We must always look at Acts for what it is, For if we take something out of the first 10 chapters of the book of Acts, and if it's not found anywhere else in the scriptures, begin to build a doctrine on this thing, for example, the gift of unknown languages, translated as tongues, if you begin to build doctrines upon things found in the first 10 chapters of Acts, you easily get into trouble. You have to make sure that it's supported in other epistles and throughout the scriptures. Because Acts is a transitional book, especially, again, the first 10 chapters, it is transitional in so many ways, from the temple, the Lord working through the temple, to the Lord saying, I will build my church. And while he was on this earth, he did just that. And its charter member organization is seen in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, after he prayed all night and had his disciples around him. And of them, he chose 12 and he called them apostles. And 1 Corinthians 12, 28 tells us that he set first in the church the apostles. And these apostles will be seen as the movers and shakers of the book of Acts. God was using them in amazing ways. And so it transitions from the Lord using the priest in the temple to the apostles and pastors in the book of Acts. And the Lord having churches all over the landscape. That is the other transition. From the church in Jerusalem, which he started while on this earth, to churches all over. We'll see that flow tonight. Another transition is having to go to God through the priest. And at the end of the crucifixion, and the temple veil is rent in twain from the top down, indicating that God opened that veil, that now an individual on the basis of the finished work of Christ can enter into the presence of God with prayer, through prayer. And it acts as a transition of all of these things and many more. The most stark transition found in the book of Acts, the most black and white transition found in the book of Acts, is that during the Gospels, Christ's personal ministry, he was saying, Elmer, I want you to go that way, okay? And Alex, I want you to go that way. And Jacob, I want you to do that. And Christ was right there directing the apostles. I didn't leave anybody out for any specific reason, okay? But Christ was right there directing the apostles. But now Christ is gone. He has ascended. But he said in John 16, don't worry. I'll send my Spirit, and he shall direct you. And we see that then in the book of Acts. You can find dozens of places where the Spirit of God directs people. Not the Lord in his personal ministry. He has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God. But the Spirit of God in Acts 8 says to Philip, go. Philip ran. The Spirit of God in Acts 16 forbids Paul. Paul wants to go this way. He said the Spirit of God forbid us. And had him go that way. In Acts 13, we'll read this in a little bit. The Spirit of God moved upon the church at Antioch and Paul and Barnabas and said, go that way. The Spirit of God. And so this is a transition of all of this. Now what's important, see, is to understand also that Luke is continuing in the book of Acts what he had started writing in the Gospel of Luke. Look at the first verse of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. By the way, Luke is the writer of this, and Luke wrote this around AD 62, right after the close of the gospel. He addresses Theopolis here, the former treatise, which is the gospel of Luke. Have I made, O Theopolis? Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, the gospel, O Theopolis, my other letter, was This is what Christ has done and taught while upon this earth. Until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So Luke tells us exactly what he's doing. I wrote the first letter, O Theophilus, to show you what Christ did and taught until he was taken up. And now I'm going to write this letter carrying on from there. The book picks up literally where Luke in his gospel left off and ends fairly abruptly with Paul on house arrest and had been there for a couple years. Hold your finger here in the book of Luke, the book of Acts, and turn back with me to the book of Luke, chapter 24, the very end of Luke's first letter. And remember, these are letters. Luke wrote them, this one, to Theophilus, and he wrote the book of Acts as a letter originally to Theophilus. And he says in verse 49, Luke 24, 49, he records the last thing that the Lord stated, or at least that Luke recorded in his first letter. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he's got the apostles around him, and he tells them to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, remember always, 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 always remember, the apostles are the charter members of the Lord's church. 1 Corinthians 12:28, it ought to be embedded in your mind. He set first in the church the apostles. And he had them around him here, and he tells them here, stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now notice, it doesn't say, stay in Jerusalem till I form you into a church. The prevailing thinking is that the church started on Pentecost. That's not what the Bible teaches. By the time Pentecost had taken place, they already had 120 members and had a business meeting. All in Acts chapter 1. He said then to the apostles, stay in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. You are and have been organized. And now stay put, because I'm not going to be there to direct you and empower you. I'm leaving, but wait till the Spirit comes upon you. Okay, now Acts chapter 1 again. So we read down to verse 2. Let's pick it up again at verse 2 and take off from there. Acts 1, verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. We just read that, okay? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then being assembled together with them, the apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. We just read that. But wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, get what is being stated in verse 5 as well. Being baptized means to be immersed. John was baptizing or immersing in water. Not many days from now, turns out to be 10. Not many days from now, Jesus said, you will be immersed in the Holy Spirit. It'll be that transition where God accredits his church, validates, this is my assembly, and I am using them. And he gave them special gifts, which, by the way, Paul said those special gifts, 1 Corinthians 13:8, will cease. 1 Corinthians 13:8, these signs, these special gifts will cease or stop when that which is in part has become given in full, the Word of God. And so he says the Spirit of God is coming. Stay in Jerusalem until then. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But this is the power you need to know about. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what is amazing about that verse, is that he just told them, you're going to be witnesses of me to the uttermost part of the earth. And right now, their brains are clicking like that. They're going, wait a minute. What? Uttermost part of the earth. They've been used to, and the history of God's working has been solely with the Jew for a couple thousand years. And he just told us to do what? Go to the uttermost part of the earth? There'd be Gentiles out there. Exactly. The unfolding drama of redemption is being spread wide open now to the Gentiles. You read up in Acts chapter 10, Peter has a real problem with this. He's not rebelling against it. He doesn't understand it. And he gets a call to go to a Gentile's house named Cornelius. And Peter's like, no, you know I can't go to the Gentile's house. Lord, what? You wrote the book, remember? No. Go. And so Peter goes. Look with me at Acts chapter 10 and verse 45. Acts chapter 10 and verse 45. And they of the circumcision, or that's the Jew, it was the Jew that had been given the command of circumcision. And they of the circumcision, or they that were Jews, which believed were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. God saving Gentiles now. Wow. This is amazing. And so Luke writes over and over, Jew and Gentile, Jew and Gentile. Paul writes over and over, Jew and Gentile, Jew and Gentile. John uses the word world all the time because John understands in his gospel not just the Jew, but the Gentile. In other words, the world, the whole outfit. And so this verse, Acts 1:8, is an amazing verse. It ties together the end of Luke's first letter, the gospel. Puts together, you shall receive power. Not organization. You're not going to be organized into a church. You already are a church. You read over here in verse 15, there's 120 names gathered together. You read the rest of the chapter, they've had that business meeting to replace Matthias. But you, as a church, you're an empty house. Now, what do you remember in the Old Testament? Twice. There was an empty house. One that Moses built and one that Solomon built. Moses built a house for the Lord. The Lord said, here is where I will dwell with you. Moses built it, and what happened? the glory of God descended upon that house, that tabernacle, so that the priests couldn't even get in. And people stood in amazement. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And it validated Moses' work. And it proved to people, this is what I'm doing. I'm meeting with my people, and my presence is here, seen by the cloud, the Spirit. The tabernacle was then transitioned into the temple. And Solomon built a temple. He did it all according to God's plan, and it sets there an empty house. It's all organized, it's all structured, it's all built, but God's not there. Until 1 Kings. If you're taking notes, the tabernacle was Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35. And the temple was 1 Kings 8, verses 10 and 11. Solomon gets the whole thing built. The Spirit of God comes in and is so thick, for lack of a better description. The Spirit of God envelops the house, fills the house, so that the priest can't even go in. And God validated his house. Now, both of those places were already built, but they were empty. They hadn't been filled with the Spirit. Now, the church, the Lord built during his personal ministry, but it's empty. And he says, stay in Jerusalem till you're filled. Stay in Jerusalem till you be endued with power. And they're going, I don't know if I understand what that means. You will. And the day of Pentecost comes, day of Pentecost, 50. Remember, he had showed himself alive 40 days. And then there were 10 days after his ascension. And then Pentecost. 50 days from the resurrection. And Pentecost is there. Acts chapter 2 opens with it. And suddenly, verse 2 of Acts 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. This rushing mighty wind fills the house, just like the temple in 1 Kings, just like the tabernacle in Exodus 40, just like Joel said in Joel chapter 2, that the Spirit of God would be poured out upon all nations. And they're living. The unfolding drama of redemption has just taken a dramatic turn where they had so many ups and downs through the Old Testament, more downs than ups. And here is an amazing period of time. At the end of Acts chapter 2, in verse 41, after the day of Pentecost, or during that, at the end of that day, the Spirit of God had been poured out. Verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. From 120 to 3,000 souls in a day. The Spirit of God was poured out, and this empty shell of a house was filled with the power and Spirit of God. And the apostles, the charter members, were instantly leaders. You can see it all through the book of Acts. You can see it right here in this verse, the very next verse that I just read. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were the leadership of the church, the pastors of the church, leading that first church in Jerusalem. Now remember what Acts 1:8 tells us. By the way, while you're turning back to Acts 1:8, we'll read it together again. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We can read about that in Acts chapter 2, that event and that power. But remember this. Those signs, those special gifts given, the ability to heal and so on. Paul tells us very clearly that those things will cease. those special gifts and signs. Not the work of the Spirit, not the ability of the Spirit, but that he's not going to continue that kind of ministry after the apostles die out. That will cease. Now, Acts 1:8 is, it works out to be a great outline for the book of Acts. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That first part of that verse is outlined in Acts chapter 2. And that's exactly what happened. What a day it was. We already read part of it there. Let's read together. Chapter 2 and verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And notice there in verse 6, if you want a definition for tongues, it's found there in verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were confused. They were trying to figure it out. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The gift of tongues was not uninterpretable babble. Every man heard in his own language. And so Peter stands up and preaches, maybe in Greek. And someone else hears it in Arabic or whatever language would have been represented there. And they're going, wow. But that is the definition of tongues. Not gibberish. Never in our Bibles is tongue gibberish, but a known language. Now, look. Greek is pretty much gibberish to me. I get that. But it's not to a person that understands Greek. And Spanish the same. And so on. But here we have the definition. Now back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll receive this power. This empowering, this validating. Some use the word accrediting, and it will prove, just like with Moses and just like with the temple and the tabernacle, this is God working. The next thing he says to them, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Well, this Jerusalem aspect of the witness is chapter 3 through 7. Chapter 3 through 7, they are doing just that. Look at chapter 4. And verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their scribes and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of a kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And so they're witnessing in Jerusalem. They're Spirit-filled, Spirit-led witnessing in Jerusalem. That's the second part of that Acts 1:8. You'll receive power, you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem. And then it goes on and says, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. Now these are Jewish central places. Jerusalem was the capital of the southern two tribes. And Samaria was the capital of the northern ten. These are Jewish primarily Jewish regions. But he said, your witness will start in Jerusalem. I read a little excerpt of that. And it will carry on out through other Jewish people. He stated in that verse, Jerusalem, Samaria, or Judea, I'm sorry, and Samaria. Now, I want to read one verse out of Acts 11 to show you what I'm saying. Acts 11, chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. They were starting to carry out what the Lord had said, to scatter the gospel. They started in Jerusalem. They went through Judea and Samaria to Jews only. They still hadn't broken out of that old rut. But that's the third part of, let me go back to Acts 1:8. Get this nice and clear for the note takers. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's the first point. Acts chapter 2. You'll witness to me in Jerusalem. That's the second point. Acts chapter 3 through 7. You'll witness also then in Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 8 and 9. And then you'll witness to the end of the earth, to the uttermost part of the earth. That's Acts chapter 10 and all the way through the rest of the book. Now, in Acts chapter 10, we already made reference to this, that Peter's the one that's going to the Gentiles, and he's really having trouble with this. And God, through a vision at night, convinces him he should go to the house of Cornelius. And Peter then finally said, and I read it to you, he's working with the Gentiles. And they begin then the last part of Acts 1:8 to the uttermost part of the earth, right there, working with the Gentiles. Interestingly, Peter's prominence in Acts 10 really begins to wane in Acts 11 and 12, and in Acts 13, let's turn there, Paul's prominence then begins, and it's really, to a great extent, then chronicling Paul in the rest of the book. Witnessing to the ends of the earth. And here in Acts 13, look with me and read this first four verses with me very, very carefully. I'm going to really emphasize a couple of words as we go through here. I've got them underlined and circled in my Bible. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucyrus of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Of course, this Saul is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me. Notice who said this. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they, that is the church, had fasted and prayed and laid their hands, they sent them away. Laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The church prayed and fasted, laid hands on them, or I believe ordained them, and they, the church, sent them away. But look at verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. In other words, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, is leading the church, leading the individual missionaries, and they ordain them with unity, and they pray, and they send them off on their missionary journey. The Holy Spirit's leading the whole thing. But it's done through a local church. It's done through a local assembly. Now, you'll notice this is the church in Antioch. You can go back to chapter 11 and, And you can see where Antioch was started out of the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church heard of believers over in Antioch, and they sent Barnabas. And Barnabas got Paul. And they went over there in Acts 11. And you can see then they're called a church in Acts 11:26. But here the gospel really begins to explode onto the scene and march on through Paul's missionary journeys. You guys are taking notes. Scribble some things down here quickly. I'm out of time. Paul's first missionary journey starts here in chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. And it ends at the end of chapter 14, where he gathers together with the church and rehearses all that the Lord had done. In other words, he is accountable to that sending body. The second missionary trip starts in chapter 15, verse 36, and runs through chapter 18, verse 22. The third missionary trip starts in chapter 18, verse 23, and runs through chapter 21, verse 26. That's his third trip. And then after that, he's imprisoned. He's back and forth with the Roman governors, in and out of prison, shipwrecked, all sorts of things happen to him. Yes? The second mission trip, chapter 15, verse 36 through chapter 18, verse 22. And the third mission trip, chapter 18, verse 23, through chapter 21, verse 26.
The first trip
starts in Acts 13, 1 through 4, and goes through the end of Acts 14, where he assembles together with the church and recounts what the Lord has done. So the transition has shifted from Peter to Paul, primarily, as the focal lead man. And Paul, the book Luke ends his gospel. By the way, Luke says many times in this book, "we." It appears as though Luke traveled with Paul a lot. And he says "we" an awful lot. And it ends, Paul has been imprisoned. Paul has been shipwrecked. He could have escaped. He didn't. It goes on and on, the troubles of Paul. Finally, they're trying to figure out what to do with him. They cannot figure out how to put him to death. They want to, and they can't figure out legally how to get that done. And they finally put him on house arrest and tell him to go over there and stay in this house. It's a rented house, and be quiet. It's Paul. He's not going to go over there and be quiet. And the book of Acts ends with Paul having the freedom to have people come and go. He can't. He's on house arrest. But people can come and go, and he encourages them, and he instructs them and teaches them. And then he's completely off the scene. The book closes. We don't know. Jewish historians believe that he actually then did finally get out of the Roman prison, house arrest. And they do believe that he made another missionary trip. Don't know. The Bible does not reveal that to us. The book ends very abruptly with Paul there stuck in a house on house arrest. But the unfolding drama of redemption has taken on an amazing twist, hasn't it? And the Lord is working in amazing ways through the book of Acts. And the gospel is going forth in power like never before. God help us. Those special gifts of healing and tongues and different things, yeah, the Bible tells us they've ceased. But the leadership of the Spirit of God has never ceased. And his ability
to lead you and me directly to a person that is searching, and have that person hungry for some truth and fill you with the words to give to that person, he's still very much able to do that and does it if we will avail ourselves to him and say, lead me. Show me that person that you're working on and you've made hungry, and give me the words to give to that person. He's still very much doing these things. God, help us to avail ourselves to the leadership of the Spirit of God and be busy about taking the gospel out to others. Let's pray.